All right, guys, hello and welcome back to Daily Sales on Demand for CEOs, where today I am here with Jennifer Kim, and I'm going to call her a brand strategist, but Jen has all sorts of tricks up her sleeve. We actually met networking, which is one of my very favorite things to do, but what I love about the conversation I'm going to have with Jen today is she has both experience as an entrepreneur growing, you know, eight-figure companies, but also came from a very traditional corporate environment as well. So she's seen both sides. She's grown massive teams in the corporate world. She's grown teams in the entrepreneurial world. And just, we're going to have a really fun conversation today about team and trusting yourself. So Jen, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
Yeah. So why don't you give a little color of your story? Because I just love your story. So will you share it?
Well, yeah, I just want to say that I'm a accidental entrepreneur. I honestly didn't think I would be running my own business. If you asked me about 20 years ago, I would have said, absolutely not. You know, I was kind of gunning for the corner office at a Fortune 50, not even a 500. Let's be clear. I wanted to work at one of the top companies in the world and honestly run the joint. Like, that was kind of my vision for my life after I left my tiny little town in Hawaii where I grew up. I went to college in the Silicon Valley. And also got married and had kids, like all of the things. You know, I was one of those really highly ambitious chicks. Like literally, I remember years ago, Britney Spears was quoted saying that she wanted to be, when her mom told her, you know, you got your career ahead of you, you're hot, you know, in terms of her performance and like all the, her audience. And when she said she wanted to become a mother, her mom said, maybe you should wait. And she was like, mom, I don't want to be an old mom. I want to be a young mom. So I was kind of like Britney Spears meets, I guess, not even Sarah Blakely, because I consider Sarah Blakely entrepreneurial. I'll say, who's like a top CEO? It's so sad because back then all you saw were men. So I actually saw a spot for more women, frankly. Right. And I was like, there's just not enough people like us in top spots like that. And so I felt like I was going to be one of those chicks, like trailblazing the way and also showing how you could be a mother and a wife and all the things. Well, it wasn't as easy as I thought it could be. But I did do the corporate thing for 12 years. My last job in the corporate world was at Verizon. It is a Fortune 50. And I was a division VP for business-to-business sales and marketing, and really, really good at my job. And had an incredible team who I miss still to this day dearly, really, really, because we're going to talk about team today. And I can say that one of the things in entrepreneurship that is a really hard blow is like, oh, I don't have all these like resources at my disposal to get shit done. You know, it's like that was one of the lessons. So we're going to get to that in a moment. But back to me and telling my story here. I was told I was going to get a promotion. And if I worked on this project that now is a billion plus installation, if you will, around what is now internet protocol TV, which is basically the predecessor to Netflix. And I spent 2 years giving literally my blood, sweat, and tears to this project. And I had two young daughters at the time who were very heavily into sports and extracurricular activities. And I had to figure out how to still live my life and be seen at work as a rock star. And I traded off a lot of personal time and relationships as a result of doing that. Anyway, fast forward to the time promotion time came up, and my promotion was given to my counterpart who ran business to consumer, who, by the way, is still my friend today. But he spent his last 2 years playing golf with our boss on the weekends, and I spent the last 2 years being in my office till the wee hours of the night. And I realized in that moment when I was passed over for that promotion that my vision for my life didn't feel right. Like it made me realize that even if you worked really hard and you were high integrity and you got things done and you created results, that ultimately my life didn't belong to me. And it felt like such a violation of my values. And so I decided in that moment when I was told he was getting the promotion and I wasn't, that I was going to create a plan to exit and create my own company. So 9 months later, I had saved half my paycheck for 9 months, and I resigned and never looked back, started my own company, first in what I call retail and real estate, enter Sarah Blakely as a model. I actually opened an underwear business, and I had no background in underwear except for wearing it sometimes. and but it was a niche that was not being served where I lived.
Okay.
And that's what I'm really good at, is picking a winner and smelling the money in an idea. And I decided to take all the things that I knew from corporate and put into that business. Mm-hmm. And I turned it into a $10 million company in 18 months.
Wild.
Because, and I always say, it's not because I was smarter than everybody else, it's because I really know where to focus my energy. And it was like, oh, the only place you can buy underwear is in Walmart in Hawaii? Well, hello. Like, let's go get another place to do it. Because there was no Victoria's Secret.
Right.
There was no Nordstrom. There was no Macy's even. It's crazy. So anyway, because I was able to jump on that opportunity, it was great. That was in 2006. But 2 years later, 2008 came. And most of us know, if you've been around for a while, that that was a really rough year in business, especially for small business. And there was no bailout for small business.
Right.
There was no government support, only for the big companies. And check this out. That's when I also realized, wait a minute, this feels like my job. Like, right. So there's only a bailout or help for this group of companies mm-hmm. that have great relationships.
Right.
And, but in the small business world, where we tend to behave solo in a lot of ways, and we don't belong to bigger networks and communities because we're busy trying to grow, I was like, this is BS. And this is just the same thing. So I basically created another job for me where I was set up to not be in control.
Right.
So I'm grateful for that lesson. And I went back to my roots, which was strategizing, winning ideas into the marketplace, scaling them and growing, and building teams mm-hmm. and capabilities to do that. And so my company, ChemCom, I have two companies, ChemCom and Master Brand Institute. One is a company that helps other companies scale their brand. And then the other one is one that helps educate entrepreneurs on how to do that. So that's kind of my long winding story to date.
I love that story, because, you know, I broke up with the corporate world as well, maybe not as much in that same fashion, but it was just one of those things. Yeah, I just woke up one day and was like, wait, like, this isn't it. So I do love that story. And I also love that you have rebuilt yourself a couple of times, because I do also think in entrepreneurship that A, we think that the first business is the business. And then B, if we get knocked around a little bit, we're like, I'm out. Right. And I love that you just like kept leaning in. And I think it's really incredible. So there was a million things that I could have guys chose to talk to Jen about, because Jen is obviously brilliant, but I wanted to talk about team, because that's a lot of what we do here. You know, in Social Sellers Academy is help people build sales teams that are really powerful. But again, in entrepreneur land, unlike in corporate world where it was like, oh, you need resources, let's go hire resources. There's this perception of like, I got to do it all myself, or I'm going to do it with a shoestring team, or I'm going to do it, you know, with a handful of contractors and try to save as much cash as possible. When we find that the really big, really successful businesses that are building long-term brands and companies are leveraging team. So yeah. What was your experience in leveraging team in the growth of any or all of your businesses?
Mm-hmm. So the first thing is that, let's just talk about the meta idea here around why building your team is actually, in my mind, the fastest path to success. And there, I wrote this on Facebook yesterday, and I'm just going to share it here. Legends don't do shortcuts. So mm-hmm. legends do not do shortcuts. And so anything that is presented as a shortcut typically is not real. However, it's worth doing the hard work to find the right people. And that's where it goes back to team, because let's face it, most people who are entrepreneurs want to build a business past, let's say, 7 or 8 figures. They can't do it alone. It's not possible. And I think that we don't invest enough in, we invest a lot in our creativity. So right. We're creatives by nature. We have ideas. Mm-hmm. But what we don't invest enough in is our capabilities. And our capabilities are our team. The team mm-hmm. provides the machine and the farm to let the that what your capability is, which is your idea or your vision, come to life. And so when we talk about like, when do you do what, right? Who do you hire first? It really depends on what your company is. But I will say this, and this is going to sound really weird, but I always look at how am I going to solve my personal problems first?
Mm-hmm.
Then I solve my professional problems. What I mean by that is I actually don't believe there's anything called a business problem. I think that as leaders, we only have personal problems that cause us to create business problems in our business. Okay. And that means that we're not leading our lives. And if you can't lead your own life, then it's very hard to lead a business and a team. So that's the meta idea that I want to play with as I talk about my own philosophy about hiring and growing a team, et cetera. Because, and I've unpacked this through my own mistakes, is sure. I guess how I would describe it. So first thing was, is that if I were to press the restart button back to 2008 when I decided, or 2006 when I took that leap into entrepreneurship, I wish that I would have found personal help first, meaning like, how can I get more support with my kids? Mm-hmm. How can I not clean my toilets anymore? Mm-hmm. How can I, and it sounds silly, but it's actually, me spending my time on that stuff did not allow me to have the freedom to use my brain and my heart and my soul on the stuff I needed to do for my business. Because then when I can be clear of thinking about what my business needs and not be worried as much about what my personal needs are, I can decide who the next right person is to help me with the person, mm-hmm. the business stuff. But because we're so swirling and our brain is fuzzy, we hire the person or the people that we hear from the last webinar or advice we got. And that's mm-hmm. a total mistake. We need to sit and be clear about, okay, what is the biggest business problem I need to solve right now? Mm-hmm. And when you're in phase one, trying to like hit six to seven figures, your biggest problems are marketing and sales. I don't mm-hmm. care what anybody says to me. Okay. You need to make money mm-hmm. and you need to let people know how you can help them. That's how I define marketing. Marketing is, how do you let people know how you can help them? And sales is collecting cash from people who said they heard you when you said, right. this is how I can help you. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. And in terms of marketing and sales, I think that people invest again on like, oh, should I go get a funnel? Should I do this? Should I do that? And I'm like, you have to earn your way to a funnel. You have to earn your way to scaling. What you need to learn is how to enroll people into your vision, which is your team. Okay. And then you need to know how to enroll people into your programs or your products or your services, which is your sales. And so for us, what I've learned is creating some systems of how to communicate that mm-hmm. so that when you hire people, they know exactly what your company stands for. They know exactly what your goals are in the next 12 months in terms of, yes, your revenue, your finances, mm-hmm. the kind of excellence in your products you want to create. And that's all you focus on. So when we hire and we look for team members, our first thing is, do we feel like, first of all, can they solve a problem that our company has right now? Right. And number two, do we have a system in place for them to get onboarded in a way that will help them bring their capabilities faster to the engine, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the sooner that you're in that mindset and you understand that that's the way you need to lead versus like confusing your team constantly mm-hmm. around what you're up to, what you want to do, that's something we have to discipline ourselves around. And a lot of us don't like the word discipline, but the root of the word discipline is disciple. And when we're a disciple to our vision and a disciple to the people we want to help, we're able to create bigger mm-hmm. scale and opportunity. So I don't know if I answered your question, but that's the way we look at hiring.
Yes. There are two things in there that I love. One being the personal piece. And obviously, you know, you and I, we both work with both men and women, but we have a heart for serving women and, you know, helping women grow businesses and become wealthy and do all those things is like the drama we have around the personal stuff, right? Like we'll hire the VA all day long. We'll hire the marketing person all day long. But yeah, like hiring somebody to, you know, the personal assistant type stuff. Like we just recently brought somebody in who's doing like all of our meal prep. And I'll be honest, Jen, it took me way too long to do it. Cause it was like, well, that's dumb, you know, but right. Now I literally can say that I honestly, the only role that I have like outside of my business, my home is to like hang out with my kids and my husband. Like yep. that's it. There is no longer like, well, I've got to do the laundry and I've got to do this. I've got like, it's all, I don't do any of it. Yeah. And it's yeah. magical.
It is.
And then the space that clears up in your brain and even in your relationships, right? Like when I'm not fighting with my husband over whose turn it is to do blah, 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 right? Like we get to have more fun. Yeah. So I love that you said that. And then you also talked about, you know, mission, vision, values as a team. And I'm going to tie that to my next question, which is a lot of people I find are fearful of making a mistake in hiring. Right? They're like, okay, I hear you. Like, you know, my business partner, Kelly Roach, is big on team. You're huge on team. I've been talking team. And people are like, okay, I get it. But what if I do it wrong? What if I hire the wrong person? What if they're not the right fit for the organization? What if I waste my money on this investment and my time and all this other stuff? What do you say to that person? And I think it ties into mission, vision, values, but I'm excited to hear what you have to say about that.
Well, I have to say that you're right. Meaning if you think you're going to fail and you're going to hire wrong people and that you're going to waste money sometimes, the answer is, you know what? You're right. You are going to. And the only way that you cannot plan a 100% perfect hiring system. You cannot, because here's the thing. We are all human beings and life will throw us wrenches, yes. Not just us, but other people. And what we try, and so sometimes those wrenches in other people's lives, because they don't have the systems and processes that we are applying as CEOs of our companies. And I didn't have them either when I first started. That's what I like to say. I, you know, when I started this company, I was, you know, I was 32. My children were like 7 and 2, you know, I mean, I was not in any way, shape or form confident around who to hire next and whatever. And I did hire poorly. That's my point. I hired poorly and I learned very quickly what I was looking for in terms of the values and the people that I wanted. The other thing is like, I don't hire entrepreneurs. I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs who haven't hit seven figures have made. But sometimes you have to do that because you can't find anybody else. And again, you're going to make that mistake. But I'm hoping by just telling you not to hire people who are entrepreneurs will help you out. Hire people like you would hire them in the corporate world. You know, people think, oh, you know, I don't know how to do that. Yes, you do. It's called Indeed.com. It's called Craigslist.com. It's called Monster.com. It's called, you know, JobBoardWhatever.com. It's called HireMyMom.com, which is an actual place that we found amazing resources. Uh-huh. And we hire them like we hire other people. Even our contractors have to go through the same hiring process. And the reason is when you treat your business professionally, mm-hmm. the people who apply will respect that more too. I think one of the biggest crimes in the online industry, and it actually literally pisses me off, is how we hire virtual assistants, who, by the way, I love virtual assistants. I love that we flattened the workplace. This, you know, the pandemic sucks, but you know what it's also helped is it helped people realize they could work from home, right? That you could learn digitally, you could sell things digitally. So there's a trade-off and a plus in that, even though it sucks for all of us around the personal side. And one of the things that I can't stand is like, when I was in the corporate world, there was no way I was going to hire an administrative assistant, who, by the way, is like so important in my business, for $150 an hour. Like, right. That's ridiculous. Just like sales teams, you know, I think commissions are comparable to what we would pay. And we use a sales system that is focused on our goals. We don't pay salespeople to sell things they're not comped for. And in the corporate world, salespeople, you know this, right, Ryan? Like, you don't sell things you can't get comped for. Salespeople, their job, and they are motivated by money. And that's a good thing. You just want to make sure they're on brand for you and that they're not weird and skeezy and sleazy. But just like the fact that they're hungry for the sale is somebody you want to hire. You don't want to just hire somebody who's like, I like you and I like your business and I'd like to sell for you. There's a process and a system for that. And when you treat your business like a professional, you will attract professionals who want to work with you, because not everybody wants to run their own company. Nobody wants this bag of poops that sometimes we got to hold as CEOs. It's glamorized, but for me, business isn't glamorous. I'm glamorous, but my business isn't. Okay. You know what I mean? Like I would rather live a life of contribution and of freedom than work for someone else. But that doesn't mean that working for someone else, I was a badass, what I call intrapreneur, when I worked in the corporate world. I created results and I was very proud of those results. Yep. And if I didn't have a taste of entrepreneurship, I probably would have gone back to it, because it can be so rewarding too. Sure. And that's the thing, is I'm looking for people who get rewarded through that versus people who want to do a business like mine. And I think that's a big key thing to look for.
Yeah, I love that. And I see, if I'm following kind of what you were saying about the VA world, I also find that, like, and again, I love virtual assistants. Like, I have coached countless virtual assistants in my tenure as an entrepreneur, but people think like the VA is like the band-aid for everything, right? They're like, oh yeah, we're just going to VA for that. Like I saw somebody the other day, like I'm looking for a VA to do social selling for me. And I was like, those are two different jobs, my friend. Those are two different personality types. Those are two different universes. Those two different pay scales. Those are just, they're two different universes. Yeah. But yeah, we've just like slapped virtual assistant on everything. And again, there's plenty of amazing things that VAs do, but it's like hire people for the job you need them to do, not hire the cheapest person that you can and try to get them to do a job that they're not qualified to.
Exactly. You can't delegate leadership. That's the first thing. You have to be willing to lead if you want to grow your business. And exactly like you said, specialists, you hire them for their specialty. Don't expect even like they'll be marketing VAs and they're like, I want them to do everything. I want them to sell. I want them to create my funnel. I want them to write my copy. I want them to, and I'm like, yo, good luck with that unicorn. It's, you know, and that's where you get disappointed. So back to your initial question around, you know, what do you say to people who are like, I'm going to make a mistake? You're going to make the mistake of thinking it's like that. Back to like legends don't do shortcuts, and you cannot shortcut human beings and positions. Like you have to think through, what do you want this position to do? Get clear with the person who's performing it and hire them professionally.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah. So good. I love that. I love the legends. Legends don't do shortcuts. And I think that that is so incredible. I will say my marketing manager might be a unicorn. She doesn't sell, but she can edit video. She can edit podcasts. She can build funnels. She can write. She's great. She's really good. But I know that like people will ask me like, who does? And I'm like, you're probably not going to find another one. I'm so aware she's a unicorn, and I knew her from my corporate life. That's how I found her. So there are unicorns out there. You just, you know, it's going into your own ecosystem to find that, but I totally get that. Well, Jen, I could ask you questions about this for days, but I want everybody to know where they can find you and where they can get more of your genius. So how do you want people to connect with you, Jen?
Well, thank you so much. It's been so fun. Me too. I could talk to you all day, Ryan, because when you are from both sides of the universe, if you will, in the working world, it really helps to see kind of clearly what's going on. So really, really appreciate that. Now you can follow me on all the socials, but my favorite place to interact is on Instagram. You can find me at jennifer.kem over there. And I also have something if you're interested in, you can take what I call my brand archetype assessment, which helps you figure out your specific brand voice and how to better message what you do to help people, and also message the people you want to attract on your team, why they would want to work with you. So you can go to masterbrand.me/daily to get that gift. And I look forward to hearing from all of you.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Jen. Bye, guys.